Hare Krishna. We'll have Srimad Bhagavatam reading, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Verse 11. Verses on the board. Kim sambritam ruchiraya dvija shringayaste. Madhya Krisha Vahasi Yatra Drishi Shri Tame. Pankaruna Surabhiratma Vishani Drit.
Pankaruna Surabhiratma Vishani Drit.
Yenashramam Subhagame Surabhi Karosi. Kim, what? Sambritam, filled. Ruchirayo, very beautiful. Dvija, O Brahmana. Shringayo, within two horns. Te, your. Madhye, in the middle. Krisha, thin. Vahasi, you are carrying. Yatra, wherein. Drishi, eyes. Shrita, attached. Me, my. Panka, powder. Aruna, red. Surabhi, fragrant. Atmavishane, on the two horns. Idrik, such. Yena, by which. Ashramam, place of residence. Subhaga, O most fortunate one. My. Surabhi Karoshi, you are perfuming. Translation. So this is the translation of the text we have been chanting and you have been repeating. Agnidhara then praised Purvachitti's raised breasts. He said, "My dear Brahmana, your waist is very thin. Yet with great difficulty you are carefully carrying two horns to which my eyes have become attracted. What is filling those two beautiful horns? You seem to have spread fragrant red powder upon them, powder that is like the rising morning sun. O most fortunate one, I beg to inquire where you have gotten this fragrant powder that is perfuming my ashram, my place of residence." Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Jai. Agnidhar appreciated Purvachitti's raised breasts. After seeing the girl's breasts, he became almost mad. Nevertheless, he could not recognize whether Purvachitti was a boy or a girl, for as a result of his austerity, he saw no distinction between the two. He therefore addressed her with the word Dvija, O Brahmana. Yet why should a dvija, a Brahmin boy, have horns on his chest? Because the boy's waist was thin, Agnidhara thought he was carrying the horns with great difficulty, and therefore they must be filled with something very valuable. Otherwise, why would he carry them? When a woman's waist is thin and her breasts are full, she looks very attractive. Agnidhara, his eyes attracted, contemplated the heavy breasts on the girl's thin body and imagined how her back must sustain them. Agnidhara imagined that her raised breasts were two horns she had covered with cloth so that others would not see the valuables within them. Agnidhara, however, was very anxious to see them. Therefore he requested, "Please uncover them so that I can see what you are carrying. Rest assured that I shall not take it away." If you feel an inconvenience in removing the covering, I can help you. I myself can uncover them to see what valuable things those raised horns contain. He was also surprised to see the red dust of perfumed kumkuma spread over her breast. Nevertheless, still considering Purvachiti a boy, Agnidhar addressed her as Subhag, most fortunate Muni. The boy must have been fortunate. Otherwise, how simply by standing there could he perfume Agnidhar's entire ashram? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm very proud of you that you have very detached and without any disturbed emotions have read the verse. That's a nice way to be detached. Of course, we didn't know what it meant because we wouldn't have chanted so many times, maybe. But still, this is a good verse, and that is the purpose also of Bhagavatam. The verses are actually confronting us with ourselves, with other human beings, with other people around us, and preparing us for Canto 10 to understand the Leela that the Lord has with his devotees. So, yes, this is, when I was preparing this text, I was like, you know, should we give a Bhagavatam class on this, you know? Actually, normally we would classify it as just material emotions, sentiments. But then if you read it carefully, then you see that how the intelligence, not in only the intelligence, but also the mind and the senses of Agnidhar were captivated because he was so attracted. He was looking at every detail of Purvachitti. You know, his senses, they were engaged. They were smelling perfume. He was seeing the thin waist. And by engaging his speech, he was praising her qualities. His mind was fully engaged because he was contemplating, he was thinking how she would carry those two heavy weight. And his intelligence was fully engaged also because he wanted to help. He was thinking how was this beautiful person that came before him. First he classified him as a Brahmana and then as a beautiful Brahmana. So he's still busy with his mind, his senses, his intelligence. And normally when we do bhakti, we try to cultivate in the same way our senses, our mind, and our intelligence. On what? On the form of and the name and the qualities of the Lord. That is what we try to do in Bhakti Yoga. And sometimes we are trying to do this by subduing the mind, capturing the mind, controlling the mind, fixing the mind, pacifying the mind. You know, we are so desperately trying to, you know, get the mind, do the same thing as we, and then we is meaning the intelligence, would like to do. But often we have seen that the mind is a very strong thing to conquer. Almost sometimes it becomes a personality. There is this book, I think many of you know it, Vedanta Psychology. And it is mentioned it mentions that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, Verse 31, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that the mind is a product of the mode of goodness. So the mind is not a product of ignorance, not the product of passion, but of goodness. It is created by Krishna. If it is fixed upon the Lord of the mind, Aniruddha, the mind can be changed to Krishna consciousness. Our quality of mind is subject to the quality of our desire. So basically, what happens is that, we all know the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where it is mentioned that first you have the senses, above the senses is the mind. You know that first problem? I don't know by heart either. But this above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the false ego, and then you have the soul. It is verse 342. And to wrest the mind from the control of the senses means that you have to direct the mind through the intelligence. Basically, the mind, if we continue with our desires, if we continue with our senses, then the mind is controlled by our desires. And it is mentioned in the same book, Vedanta Psychology, that except in deep sleep, the mind is always active. It's super active, more than our physical body. And by the power of the mind, we experience sensations like seeing, hearing, tasting, you know, we become active, and so on. And that these activities are directed by the desires. So depending on our desires, the mind becomes agitated. I hope you're still following me. This is quite dry sometimes, but if you go back to your own mind, then I think many things we can recognize from that. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, verse 41, Krishna mentions to Arjun that it is clear that lust creates desire, and desire kills intelligence. And when desire kills intelligence, that automatically means that the soul is being captivated. It becomes restricted, like a bird in a cage. You lock the cage or you make the cage smaller. So that is when we become influenced by lust. So where does this lust come from? So if you say lust creates desire, desire engages the senses, and the senses direct the mind, then, well, where does this lust come from? And again, in the same chapter, Krishna mentions that lust is created by the contact of our body with material nature. As soon as we have this body, and we take birth, automatically lust is created. So it's not something that we can manipulate or shut off, or, you know, we have to just guide it. So what happens exactly is that automatically when the body takes birth or comes in contact with the material nature, the senses come in contact with the sense objects. So the senses, like hearing, my eyes, they can become agitated when there is a sense object, when there is something to see that I like, you know. If there is nothing to see, my eyes are still there, it's not agitated. You know, it's not giving any impulse to my mind, oh, how nice, you know, because there is not a sense object. So the sense object is actually the source of giving information to the senses. Let me see. In the case of Agnidhar, he was seeing also other things. He was seeing his hut, he was seeing his ashram, he was seeing trees and whatever. But his eyes were agitated by the appearance of Purva Chitti. You know, he didn't become agitated by seeing the hut or seeing the trees. He saw Agnidhar and the features of Purva Chitti, and the features of Purva Chitti, and he became captivated. So why? Because he sees the hut, it gives him some pleasure to see, but there is a higher fulfillment, the promise of a higher fulfillment by seeing the features of Purva Chitti. And that is the difference between each sense object. So it's like smelling. When we smell incense, some people, you know, there are a lot of people that don't like the smell of incense, isn't it? I like the smell of incense, and it gives all kinds of, you know, higher enjoyments in my mind. But those people, for them, it's like a higher resentment. They are very, you know, aversive to incense smell. So what is happening there, because it's the same incense, it's the nose, you know, we have a nose, you have a nose, well, everyone of us has a nose, the incense is there, it's independent of who is there, but still the reaction of the incense, the information that the mind gets is different. So that means that we are able to control the information that we get from sense objects. So there is still hope with Bhakti Yoga that we can, you know, get our mind to cooperate with us and help us in this process. So we see here that the root of our desires are embedded in the desire to enjoy. So, is that a bad thing? Yeah, we have a desire to enjoy. That is why Agnidhar was agitated more by the form of Purva Chitti than by, you know, seeing the tree or the bird or whatever. He wanted to enjoy. Well, is that bad? Is it bad that we want to enjoy? Oh, wow, Prabhu, what are you saying? You're a brahmachari. No, it is not bad that we want to enjoy, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna wants to enjoy. Of course, we have that Hare Krishna. Shrada Gopinath Ki Jai. So we also have that propensity to enjoy. But the only difference is that Krishna can enjoy unlimitedly, and we just have, you know, we just can enjoy a small part of what Krishna can enjoy. But still, the propensity to enjoy is there, and that is the reason why we have such a body. Nevertheless, coming in contact with the material nature, our desires lead us to a higher enjoyment. But because we are in contact with the material nature, everything is distorted. We are not enjoying in a true form. Earlier this week, I was dressing the gopis, and you know, we were thinking, and I was thinking, you know, how the deity would look so nice, the gopi would look so nice, and that, you know, Krishna could enjoy, and the devotees could enjoy, and that would make me also enjoy. And that, then I tried to understand that that is a much higher enjoyment than, you know, just enjoying by yourself. Like, if there's a mother and a child, and if you give a cookie to the mother will give it to the child. And by seeing how the child enjoys, the mother enjoys more, because it comes from inside. The mother will enjoy not only with her eyes, she will actually also feel love, you know, love that will take over her whole being. The child will enjoy the cookie, you know, the taste of the cookie, just the taste, the tongue and the tasting senses. But the mother will enjoy by seeing, by hearing the nice and comforting sound of the child, etc. Her being will be enjoying. So when we enjoy from inside, that's a higher enjoyment. And that is the level to which we should grow. And that is what bhakti yoga is bringing us, that we should enjoy by letting others enjoy. Very wonderful example is humility. You know, we have, humility is a very prominent character of devotees, of sages, of the devotees of Krishna. But humility is not thinking yourself less, you know, but humility is thinking more of others. You understand? So it's not that you bring yourself down and that is humility. No. Humility, real humility, is seeing the good in others. So this is how we should try to enjoy. We enjoy by letting others enjoy. It's not that when others enjoy, we become envious. Well, I should enjoy too, you know. When the mother becomes envious, or the lover becomes envious that the other partner or the other person is enjoying, then that is rooted in envy. And that is the nature of the character of material nature, of prakriti, that is covering us in envy. But through bhakti yoga and through love, Krishna prem, we can elevate that, we can come on a higher platform, and we develop a higher taste. Well, we know that book, I think, Higher Taste. And we can try, really try to develop that higher taste. There are nice recipes in that book that can give us a higher taste. But also there are nice recipes in the programs that are here in devotional service that develops a higher taste for a lot of other senses that we have. So, to progress on our spiritual path, we have to reprogram our information of enjoyment, and we have to understand the qualities of sense gratification. The moment we start with devotional service, we already start in this process of, you know, turning the switch differently for enjoyment. What is enjoyment? Okay, devotional service means that when I mop the floor, I am enjoying. Well, not very much, but okay. Let's see, where is the enjoyment? You know, so devotional service is a higher thing, is a higher activity. Often it is said when a devotee does one thing, he can do the same thing as someone who's living outside, and it looks like they're doing the same thing, but the enjoyment is different. The attachment, the entanglement in the matter, in the material nature, is different. That is only because of the process of devotional service. That is only because of we try to change the information that we get from the sense objects. And if we do that, Mukti Devi, Bhakti Devi, liberation will start happening. Liberation is not that we cut our ties with the sense objects, but we change the information. So this is the stage of the senses, and the mind and the intelligence is to become liberated. When we do devotional service, the prime aspect that should be there and is there is sacrifice. Sacrifice of the enjoyment of lording over material nature. So we don't want to, like the mother and the child, the mother sacrifices her desire to eat the cookie herself. I'm sorry, I have a dry throat. I have some clove in my mouth, so just to keep it going. So because of the sacrifice she does, she experiences a higher enjoyment. She also has compassion. Devotional service, the main ingredient is sacrifice and compassion, because she feels compassionate to someone else. We feel compassionate to someone else. That's why we are allowing others to enjoy and not ourselves, you know. And of course, love. So, and basically the love that we will have in the end of, well, if we do our devotional service properly, is the love for Krishna. And when we are trying to do that, of course, immediately it will not happen. It will not be the first day that you're cleaning the temple room or some other thing, washing the pots or doing some other devotional service, that you will feel, oh, the love is there. You know, wow, I have sacrificed so much. No, you will not feel it, maybe. You know, if you will feel it, we have to try to feel the traces of love that comes through the devotional service, but still are covered with our own conditioned way of how we want to enjoy. So as soon as we go on that path, that path is bhakti, and the ruling deity of that path is Bhakti Devi. So we say every morning, the Premadhvani, that we say Bhakti Devi ki jai. Isn't it? So when we go on that path sincerely, then Bhakti Devi will automatically protect us. You know, she will guide us. So if we protect bhakti, devotional service, then bhakti will protect us. This is how Krishna has promised us in the Bhagavad Gita. The same way was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur also saw a very beautiful lady. He was doing his meditation and he was actually in the same position as Agnidhar. He saw this very beautiful lady and also his eyes were functioning. It was not that he was blind. His eyes were functioning. His nose was smelling okay. His ears were fine. So his senses were working. But still, he chose the path of devotional service. He changed by doing japa, by doing devotional service. He changed the sense object for his senses. The lady was no longer a sense object for him. And by feeling compassion, he let her, you know, wait patiently. Wait till I'm finished with my japa, then I can address you. And of course, he never finished the japa, so she was waiting there. And she was then hearing, and also at some point she started to chant. So because of compassion, of sacrifice, he managed to change that position of the sense object. So first she was a sense object for Agnidhar. A beautiful lady was the sense object, but for Haridas, the same beauty, the same kind of sense object, is not a sense object anymore. So if we understand ourselves, you know, in school, we are not taught about ourselves. We are taught about, you know, maybe biology, but what we do the most, you know, our body is not so active, like I said in the beginning. Our mind is much more active. But we are not taught about our mind in schools. And this is the purpose why we don't understand ourselves. You know, normally when we see advertisements, television, the woman is presented as the sense object for the senses of the men. And when at some point then the man acquires such a sense object, he feels cheated because he cannot become satisfied. His enjoyment is not satisfied, it's not fulfilled. So we become frustrated, and you know, the frustration can have many faces, but this is what is happening. We are presented by the media, by everything around us, if we are not in a spiritual environment, we are actually bombarded by what our sense objects should be. And unless we use our intelligence, we will not be able to guide our mind properly with our intelligence. So that is the message that I got from this interesting verse, and I hope I have been able to transfer some knowledge. Are there any questions? Or remarks, comments? Would you? Yeah, often when I, after I've dressed and then when I go down and then I think, wow, if you have seen Krishna, if you've seen Radharani, there's nothing more beautiful in the world than, you know, than them. But still, you know, our eyes, our senses, they are still active a lot because we have still so much information that we have to deal with. And if we don't deal with it, they will stay there as ghosts. And then, you know, that sometime Prabhupada said that artificially we can say we don't want to see anything. Like some group of well, some schools teach, you can shut off your mind or you can, you know, put a... you can blinden your eye or whatever. But the mind is so powerful that it will create an image in your mind and still agitate your senses. And we all know that that is possible because we have experienced that. So it's not about the seeing of the sense object, but it is about the information we attach to the sense object, you know. And that is the purpose of promotion of the media. It puts a sense object and it attaches so much information that is connected to your desire for enjoyment. You know, so basically, like with alcohol, you know, we are in that state that alcohol doesn't do anything with us, you know. It's like, whoa, you know. But still, there is a lot of people that become so agitated by seeing a nice bottle of, you know, or a nice enjoyment with friends, you know, because that bottle, it just has some substance, but if you have created the image of you can have so much enjoyment with that bottle, that liquid, together with your friends, you can feel that you are like whatever, you know. So it's the information, it's not the bottle, it's the information that goes with that bottle. It's the information that is, you know, transmitted to you through the form of the of a woman, you know. I'm not getting aroused by the form of a woman. I'm have eyes. I have, you know, but it's not programmed for me. It's programmed for men, and that is how people use promotion, how people use media, how people use, you know, candies. You know, I won't go wild for lollipops, but you know, children go wild for lollipops. So this is actually how you can analyze yourself. Why am I agitated by that specific sense object? And it can be changed. It is possible. And I think we believe that also, that it can be changed. But sometimes it's easier to just go with the flow. So we can choose the spiritual flow or we can choose the material flow. It's up to us. Okay? Thank you for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam Granthara Ji Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.